I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
This episode of LiveWire is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving or cleaning, even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Hey there, LiveWire. It's Luke Burbank. This week, we are dropping a little podcast extra for you just in time for Valentine's Day. Okay, back in 2023, we had Curtis Sittenfeld on the show. Of course, Curtis is the New York Times bestselling author. This was part of the Portland Book Festival. And Curtis was talking about her latest book, which is romantic comedy. It follows a comedy writer on a TV show, like a sketch comedy show that goes live on Saturday night. It's not called that, but you kind of get the idea. And Curtis was talking to us about her book and about how these characters in the book kind of flip the script on some real-life celebrity love stories that we have heard about, where a certain kind of person in a show like this tends to land a certain other kind of person. In Curtis's book, the main characters kind of, they ride off into the sunset happily ever after. But we wanted to get her opinion on if happily ever after is possible for some popular movie couples. So we put together a little game that we're calling Happily Ever After, or not. We actually ran out of time on the radio broadcast to put this in, but we just thought it was too funny and also educational to leave it out. So here it is, because it's Valentine's Day, y'all. We are going to share it with you. Take a listen to this. It's Curtis Sittenfeld live from the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland, Oregon. Okay, so on the subject of romantic comedies, which if you write a book that's called romantic comedy, you are, to me, the world's expert on the topic, and we would like to put that into effect here on the show. That's hoping that maybe you could use that expertise to tell us definitively what happened to some of our favorite rom-com couples after the movie was over.
Mm-hmm. After the HEA.
Yeah. They HEA'd, then the credits rolled, but now we need to know what really happened to them. And since you've studied this scientifically, we're wondering if you could kind of weigh in on some of these. Okay. So we have to start, of course, with the, I don't know, like if there was a big bang of rom-coms, it's probably when Harry Met Sally. I mean, it's kind of up there.
I think the big bang of rom-coms is like Pride and Prejudice, but
okay fair. Fair point.
They stayed together, right?
Probably.
Elena, can you finish the show for me? Fair point. As far as movies go, when Harry Met Sally is a biggie, what do you think about Harry and Sally? The movie ends, they're together. They're actually doing that little kind of interstitial thing, which is very genius storytelling. I mean, if you're not walking around saying people were always crossing rooms to talk to Nadine, like you have not watched that movie enough. That being said, do you think they would stay together?
Yes.
Wow.
Is that a hot take, Elena?
I don't know why I gasped like that. I don't know. It's like, well, in the online community that I follow, they murdered each other.
There is apparently some online pushback to the idea of them staying together because of the fact that they weren't supposed to be together in the first place. That so much of the conversation was around they you know, were not going to be an item. That maybe there's some, like them being, like they wouldn't have made it.
I think the opposite, that I think that it's almost like it, because it wasn't a foregone conclusion and it was it was a conscious decision. And that's, I will say that you know, because of how old I am and my personality, like I saw many of those kind of classic rom-coms in the theater in my teens. So it's like I eventually had to write a novel called romantic comedy. Yeah.
I want to mention that's the only romantic comedy we have on this exercise. Everything else is not a romantic comedy. Baby and Johnny from Dirty Dancing.
Oh my God. So I will say, I consider that to be actually my favorite movie. Well, maybe I can answer this in a slightly different way. I feel like for years, like I don't really yearn to write screenplays. I mean, I don't really know how to write screenplays at this point, but I was like, I want to write a sort of, which apparently actually Jennifer Grey is writing some sort of sequel, but I was like, for probably like 10 or 15 years, I was like, someone needs to, and it might have to be me, like write a sequel to Dirty. I know there's like Havana Nights, but.
Right, which is written by my pal Peter Segal.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What? This is like the big bombshell. Yeah. Wait.
True story. Wait, don't tell me. It's Peter Segal wrote the original screenplay that was adapted into Dirty Dancing to Havana Nights.
No.
Yeah, I didn't mean to derail everything that way. I thought you all knew. I thought we'd even probably talked about it on this very show.
This is very disorienting.
He wrote a much more nuanced and interesting screenplay about a young woman coming of age in Havana, and through the way that movies...
Oh, it became...
Yeah, scripts get optioned and such, it ended up being the thing that was developed into Dirty Dancing too.
Oh my God. At one point, I had the goal that I would write, because I wanted to watch, you know, it's sort of like you have to write the book that you want to read sometimes. I wanted to write a sequel where Baby is like, she's married someone else and she's had her own life, and then she's middle-aged, and then she goes back to the resort and she and Johnny, but I mean, sadly, Patrick Swayze, when he
died. He'd still be teaching. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, he couldn't play the character.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant it was sad he was still teaching the conga.
No. That would be beautiful. That would be beautiful. They could both have had all this like life experience, and then so I feel like, I mean, maybe she could get together with his cousin or something.
No, but. I mean, you know what would have definitely happened would have been they go their separate ways because their lives, you know, the trajectory of their lives is pretty different.
Yeah.
At some point, one of them goes on Facebook to catch up with the other one, which is, by the way, how every affair in America starts for people over the age of 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody went on Facebook to see what happened to that person from 20 years ago.
I mean, if you think about their ages, actually, well, I would have to do this math off stage, but to think about the ages of, but I do, I actually think that they would not, this is like, I've given this too much thought. I think they would not have stayed together if they had married immediately when the movie ended, but then I think they might have found each other.
Sure.
Facebook.
Right, they would have to. How about Danny and Sandy from Grease?
So, okay, I saw this most recently, like 40 years ago. So I don't think I'm qualified to comment on this serious matter.
Passarello, do you have thoughts?
I think anyone who can drive a pair of pants like Bad Sandy, I think if she wants him to be on her arm for the rest of her life, she's got it.
Somebody said online that they have to stay together given that he shot his car into the stratosphere. So what is her escape plan? She's stuck with him just for aeronautical reasons. How about this? Jack and Rose from Titanic.
Oh.
If Rose had scooched over on that board.
Yes. Yes.
How would that have turned out?
I only ever saw Titanic once in the theater, and I think I was like in my early 20s, and I think I was like, oh, this is so like moving, and you know, and I almost, I almost could never watch it again because it's like so sad, right? So I think that must be a testament to the emotionally persuasive connection between Jack and Rose. So I say yes.
What do you think, Passarello?
No way, Jose.
Why not?
I think she's always going to leave him and ride that donkey and climb the pyramid or whatever she does in all the pictures at the end of the movie. She's a rambler.
So and was she basically like, was she sort of quiet quitting on him when she didn't let him onto the board? Did she know that it was not going to work out?
Yeah, she was like, I actually don't think his prospects are that good.
Yeah.
Or maybe she thought about like Leonardo DiCaprio's cute now, but just wait till he is a little older.
Okay, last one. and this is definitely not from a rom-com, but Bert and Ernie.
Sure.
Yeah.
And kind of in the same category, Frog and Toad. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We love that.
So complimentary and compatible with you. So understanding of each other.
Like, yeah. I think we all aspire to have Frog and Toad more than Bert and Ernie. That's more of like a sort of grim deadlock.
Between Bert and Ernie?
Yeah. Well, didn't you say in the sound check that you think one of them is very toxic?
Yes. I won't say which one because it'll anger a lot of people, but I think one of them is
Bert
doing a lot of emotional
there?
Labor out there, and the other one is... Your personality will show if you say who you think the toxic one is.
I just assumed it was Bert.
See, that says a lot about you.
I don't know how much we've learned about the guests this week. We've learned a lot about Luke Burbank, so I guess that's been something. The book is Romantic Comedy, Curtis Sittenfeld. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Curtis Sittenfeld right here on LiveWire. Make sure to check out her new book, Romantic Comedy, and have a great Valentine's Day. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a piping hot episode of LiveWire delivered right to your heart and ears each week? Well, guess what? That can happen when you subscribe to the LiveWire podcast feed, and you'll get the joy of surprising conversation every week. So go ahead and do it. It's super easy. You click on the button at the top of your podcast app, and bam, you are LiveWire subscribed. And if you're still, you know, feeling the love, if you're enjoying the show, hey, maybe you could hook us up and leave us a quick review. That'll help more people find out about LiveWire. And thank you.
From PRX.